News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Morning at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. And Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, and also the Washington Examiner joins us right now. Quinn, I know that also people may not realize you're an author of some note as well, and you've got some books they can purchase at Amazon.com.
Yes, it's called the Mad Jones Trilogy, Mad for Madison, and just look up my name and Mad Jones or Mad Jones and Amazon.com, but right there on Amazon, satire and modern media politics and religion.
So we were kicking, you and Dalton were just kicking around some of the ideas we could go with our conversation today. First things first, the I-10 Bay Bridge for trucks only. I don't know. So what's your, I don't know how we're supposed to react to this thing. If you know, we're not engineers, we don't know any better, but has this been done somewhere else, and what's the outcome been?
To me, it looks a little bizarre. They claim that it's going to improve drive times at rush hour or peak capacity, but I think it's 40% for everybody else to send the trucks and only the trucks onto the new bridge. It's going to also charge the trucks, I think it's $10 a trip over, which to me seems rather steep. They say, oh, but it'll save them so much time that they'll end up saving money. I don't buy that. The other thing that I've heard, and I haven't done the measurement, but they're cut off for what counts as a truck that has to go on the new bridge is 46 feet, and I've read that a whole lot of fishing boats and their trailers, when you put them to the back of a standard pickup truck, are 47 feet, which means that they would have to pay $10 each way every time they want to go back and forth across the bay. Now, you know how many people there are in Mobile and Baldwin County that fish by going, by hauling their boat back and forth across the bay, depending on where they want to fish? That's a lot. And $10 each way, that ain't going to cut it. So there's a lot more that needs to, a lot more thought that needs to go into this. It seems really, really weird to me. You're also going to be telling every other driver that you've got a brand new bridge over the river, but you're not even allowed to go over it. You still have to navigate the tunnel. That's crazy too.
Yeah. And, I'm not sure about the boat towing situation. They haven't confirmed whether that's the case, a standard pickup truck towing a boat, whether they'd have to take the new truck bridge or not. But the part I'm most interested in, you know, how this would work is expanding the bayway itself. And when they said that was part of the discussion, expanding the bayway, I guess for some reason I assumed they meant building on to the standing, to the structures that stand right now, but they're saying relaning. And what we're all used to driving on, those four lanes, two each direction, would instead, same amount of space, become three lanes each way rather than two. I'm just having trouble figuring out, first off, how tight that would be compared to other drivers. And also, if you're still going down to two lanes into the tunnel or two lanes once you reach the eastern side of the bay, that would be a bottleneck in itself. So lots of questions that I have, and I know a lot of listeners have, about this new plan.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about whether that's very safe. If you turn those two lanes into three, what you're doing is you're getting rid of the shoulders.
Right.
And when you get rid of shoulders on a bridge, you know, unless the bridge is, you know, only 20 feet long or something, when you get rid of shoulders on a bridge, you're asking for trouble. I mean, you are really, really asking for major trouble, both in terms of safety and in terms of traffic pileups if there's a problem.
So that's what it seems like. Yeah.
I just don't think this makes much sense.
Right, and so engineering minds, including the retired Mr. Calametti, who no doubt knows a whole lot more about any of this than me, for sure, So they have come up with this idea, and but I'm with you too. Like, wouldn't we have more accidents now? And it just takes one accident to bottle everything up. You would have a better chance of more accidents on the Bayway coming either way, it seems to me.
So. And you know, the reason for putting this plan out there right now is because they're worried about that federal grant,
right.
$125 million, that if we don't use it, we lose it. And I think we have to put that into action, that money, by 2022. But that comes as reports, Quinn, that Joe Biden, fresh off signing the $1.9 trillion stimulus relief bill, that now there are discussions about the upcoming infrastructure bill, and it is not a tiny bill. $3 trillion, the number being passed around right now, and that includes a lot of Green New Deal type stuff as well. Have you had any chance to kind of look over what they're talking about here, $3 trillion in new spending, and regardless of what's actually in the bill, what can adding another $3 trillion to the federal debt, what does that mean for this nation after spending so much money these past 2 years?
Look, I've been yelling about debt for, you know, for my whole life, but really yelling about it for the last 10 years, and we haven't had a catastrophe because of it yet. So maybe I'm not the expert. I thought once we hit 100% of GDP, debt as more than 100% of GDP, we'd start really having trouble with inflation and with, you know, devaluing the dollar and stuff like that. It hasn't happened yet, but all economic theory, all past economic experience, and all common sense says the opposite, says you can't keep going on piling debt upon debt without causing at some point some sort of crash. And I say, why risk it? You know, why? Just because we've defied the odds for the past 10 years doesn't mean that we can defy the odds forever, especially if you keep loading more and more debt on top of it. I mean, basically what we're doing is just printing money out of thin air, mm-hmm. and saying that it's good.
You know, the contrast here federally and locally is pretty astounding when you think about it. You've got this $3 trillion infrastructure bill. That's for bridges and roadways primarily, right? And here in Mobile and Baldwin County, we're going to expand the Bayway by
repainting
the lines.
Right.
So you've got, like, where is any part of that $3 trillion to allow us to get actually adequate drive time between here and Baldwin County?
On one of the biggest roads.
I would have
yes.
to say that the likelihood is that if the $3 trillion passes, that there will be money that will help substantially with the new bridge.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that they're going to find a way to pass $3 trillion. And I'm not sure that they should. And if you want to talk about the bridge, I'm sorry, but you've got to lay a heavy amount of blame on Governor Kay Ivey and especially on the State Transportation Department, which, of course, she, in some senses, oversees. They were the ones that pulled the plug 2 years ago in a fit of pique because they changed the plan, made it 2.5 times more expensive than the original plan, then said they were going to shove it down our throats with a huge toll that nobody had talked about before. And then when the Eastern Shore Planning Group justifiably balked at that and said, you know, we can't put that on our plan at that price, rather than immediately go back to work and say, how do we make this work, she ran home and crawled in a corner and said, you're not doing it my way, so I'm gonna be a jerk.
Right.
And so we've lost 2 years. So the reason that we're worried about losing the $125 million is because 2 years ago she said, that's it.
Yeah.
And so she's been the one that put us up against the deadline.
She took her ball and went home, right?
Yeah, and I would say that's probably the biggest reason that the governor, and she has good polling, she's a successful governor as far as that's concerned, but not in this part of the state. She does not poll as well here as she does in the northern and central parts of Alabama. What worries me about this new bridge plan, and you know, I'm not for extra federal spending, but if they're going to spend $3 trillion on infrastructure, and we're working to push this bridge plan as quickly as we can so we don't lose out on $125 million, I wonder if we're not hurting ourselves in the discussion for more of that money coming in from the federal stimulus plan. Maybe we'd be able to swing a bigger bridge without a toll for I-10. That's part of what I'm wondering. Also, Quinn, when we get back, budget reconciliation. And the Democrats have already passed the one stimulus bill using that method. They're talking about getting through some of their other bills using this, what until this year was kind of a little-known practice in the Senate. Can we talk about that when we get back with you here on Mobile Mornings?
We can. Lots of stuff to talk about.
Okay, very good. New trick bridge for the trucks, and then as far as the Bayway, we go to Sherwin-Williams, grab ourselves 12 cans of paint, and we have a new Bayway.
Yeah, that easy.
Six lanes now, y'all. It's 17 after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings. Drive from Fairhope's about to be cut down from 60 to somewhere between 60 and 90 minutes or something like that. I didn't understand all that. There must have been some context that we didn't have in that quote.
I don't know. I listened to the whole press conference yesterday. I didn't hear much context in the 60 to 90 minutes cut off your travel time during peak.
Quinn, they said that the travel, Mr. Calametti said the travel time would be cut down from as much as 60 to 90 minutes. And I'm thinking, now, from where to where? This is, we're talking back to the Bayway again.
Did he say minutes or percent?
So he said that by moving the big trucks off of and out of the Wallace Tunnel, that would cut down during peak travel times. It would cut your trip by 60 to 90 minutes.
I thought he said 60%.
Well, the 40% came in from making the Bayway three lanes in each direction rather than two. They said that would open up 40% more.
Okay, but if you want to cut 90 minutes off the commute time,
I know.
Then I think that's really cool. It means you're going to, even at rush hour, you're going to cross the bay in -1.5 hours. So you get here half hour before you even start.
So you
I
don't.
Think that's a really cool trick.
You wouldn't have to get up as early. I mean, this is revolutionary. This is a great idea.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah,
great idea.
Quinn Hillier with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5.
So Quinn, got a lot to get to in these last 6 minutes. I wanted to ask you about budget reconciliation. That's how the Democrats got that last stimulus relief bill through. They only needed 51 votes in the Senate rather than the 60 that they normally need. And regarding this new infrastructure bill that's starting to be discussed, they're talking about going about that the same way. Can you kind of explain, like you're explaining to a third grader for my sake, what budget reconciliation really is?
Okay, well, what it is they pass an annual budget resolution that sort of sets broad parameters. And having done that, if they actually pass one, which they don't always, if they pass one, then any budget bill that only has spending and tax items, that doesn't have extraneous items that are policy without involving direct spending or taxes, as long as they fit it within those broad, already created parameters, then they can call it budget reconciliation. And it means that according to the rules of the Senate, it takes only a simple majority of the Senate, meaning in most cases 51 senators, rather than being subject to a filibuster that requires 60 out of the 100 senators to vote for it. So it's easier to pass something in terms of the number of votes if it's done by budget reconciliation. The problem is that the rules as to what actually counts as a spending and tax item are pretty strict. You can't stick in any other, you know, non-spending policy matters. And the history has been you only use it once a year. Now, I used to work on the House Appropriations Committee. I thought I understood all of this. I just learned in the last week, so, you know, I've got to admit I'm not a know-it-all, because I just learned in the last week, technically you're allowed to do 3 bills under budget reconciliation each year, not just one. I've never seen them in decades do more than one, but they're talking about using budget reconciliation for the infrastructure bill as well as for the COVID relief. And apparently, technically, they can, although the problem there is it has to fit under the budget resolution that they have passed. And I don't remember the budget resolution that they passed making room for another $3 trillion of spending.
Mm-hmm.
So even then, they got to do some fancy footwork to figure out how to either make it fit under the current budget resolution or somehow make a new budget resolution in order, so you have a second budget parameter in the same year that you can then reconcile with. It's all very complicated, and basically what it means is what they're trying to do is unprecedented and sort of against the spirit mm-hmm. of the Senate rules, even if somehow they find a way to do it technically within the written law.
Shifting gears real quick in the last couple of minutes, soon Alabama will be represented, okay, this theoretically, in Washington, D.C., in the U.S. Senate seats, Tommy Tuberville and Mo Brooks. Okay. Where does that leave us as a state as far as getting our piece of the pie or getting things done, or you tell me?
Well, Mo Brooks, who just announced, congressman from North Alabama, is not exactly in the Richard Shelby mode, which is the behind-the-scenes, build bridges, try to get things done mode. He's more of a shake things up guy. I don't know that he's going to win. There's going to be probably a lot of people running for the seat. I just got a fundraising solicitation yesterday. I'm on, I don't know how I got on this list, but from Linda Blanchard, who is, who was Donald Trump's ambassador to Slovenia, and before that a very successful businesswoman who, some of whose businesses did a lot of good stuff for poor people. There's rumors that she's going to have Trump support instead of Mo Brooks. If so, that makes it tougher for Congressman Brooks.
Well, theoretically, if Brooks and Tuberville are then in D.C., that's my question, is where does that leave us as a state?
It doesn't leave us with a lot of clout, put it that way, because Mo Brooks is going to be still going to be the outsider. And if you have a newbie like Tuberville, who's not just new to the Senate, but basically new to politics and still learning the ropes, and then you have a sort of an outsider bomb thrower, then you don't have the balance of, one guy to shake it up and one guy to work the system. If you've got two guys on the outside, sometimes you lose as a state because you don't get the little things done for the state.
Thank you, Quinn. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for the time, Quinn. We'll talk with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow Quinn on Twitter at Quinn Hillier. Also read his writings at WashingtonExaminer.com or QuinnHillier.com.
829 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings News straight ahead.
Thirty-six FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. And looks like the rain moving through today. And, well, it'll be rainy for the next few days. And that means some unfortunate accidents around our area. But if that does happen to you, the body shop in McConnell, a great place to check out.
That's right. Gary, the girls and the guys back there, I'll take care of all your insurance needs. I mean, I promise you, we got the best body shop in Mobile, bar none. And, hey, we about to get the construction stuff done today, too. So we got one lane open coming in, so everybody be careful around it. Yeah, like you said, you're going to have a little rain, so everybody be careful out there. But if you have that unfortunate accident, you need a car, check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We still got all those Buicks sitting out there ready to go. Got a few Yukons, just a few, that's not sold, so you need to come check those out. Like I said yesterday, we traded in an AT4 with 20,000 miles on it, and it's it should be in the shop. It's going to be certified, gives you an extra 12-12 on the factory warranty, plus bumps up that powertrain up to 100,000. So y'all come check those out, and check them all out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Ratta. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837 FM Talk, 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. It did take long for us to mention the I-10 proposal for the bridge for the trucks, et cetera, et cetera. For our text line to get humming this morning at a little after 6 o'clock, the first time we talked about it. I guess, actually, you were on with Sean
yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. So you guys, you felt the surge of interest in that story immediately.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this was such a huge topic 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when the Mobile I-10 River Bridge, when that discussion began. And it was actually right here on FM Talk 106.5 and on Sean's show on Midday Mobile while he was interviewing some members with ALDOT, the Department of Transportation. And it was then that we learned that with the new bridge proposal, yeah, there would be a toll there, but also going into the Wallace Tunnel. So basically, they were going to toll everyone. And we know what happened after that.
Oh, yeah.
The anti-toll group became huge on Facebook. Lots of people were upset with the idea of paying $6 each way just to get to or from Mobile or to or from Baldwin County. And so that kind of died there on the vine. And I didn't think it would be brought back up anytime soon. We do have this $125 million federal grant that's been set aside for that kind of construction. And I think it was that grant and possibly losing that money that kind of spurred these planning organizations back into action, the Metropolitan Planning Organization. So yesterday, to kind of reset this discussion, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, also the Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell, and Congressman Jerry Carl, and Vince Calametti, who is retired but worked at ALDOT as an engineer for years, they held a press conference yesterday afternoon at the Five Rivers Delta Resource Center and explained this new proposal. Here was Calametti talking about the new bridge that would be built across the Mobile River. Let's see here. Maybe we can get the audio rolling again here. Calametti talking about the new bridge.
It begins with the construction of a dedicated four-lane bridge over Mobile River for large trucks only. All large trucks over 46 feet in length would be prohibited from using the Wallace Tunnel.
So a new bridge
with the construction of a dedicated...
He's rolling right on along there. So a new bridge for large trucks only, 46 feet and over, and he says they would be the only ones paying the toll here, and that toll would be $10 to $15, but no more than $15. How much time would that cut off of your standard vehicle's travel time across the bayway and through the tunnel? He says 60 to 90 minutes.
Preliminary estimates indicate the new truck-only bridge will decrease average passenger car delays by 60 to 90 minutes during peak times.
And I listened to the question and answer session after where Calametti took questions. I don't recall, and I couldn't really hear the questions, but I don't recall him answering where that 60 to 90 minutes time frame comes in.
Yeah, I'm sure it makes sense. I'm sure it makes sense. It doesn't make sense in the idea of the commute from Mobile to Baldwin County because, of course, under the right circumstances, that's about from shore to shore, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about peak travel time. So in my mind, that would be Independence Day weekend, Friday afternoon.
Okay.
5 p.m., 5:30 p.m., what that standard travel time is. And I've been actually, traveling during that time. I'd say the longest I've waited, not counting times when there was an accident that completely stopped traffic, but I've waited maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours just to get through to the other side. I'm sure some out there have waited longer.
I see. Okay. Well,
but 60 to 90 minutes, you're talking about turning that from an hour and a half wait to a 0 minute wait. Would it be that big of a difference? And also this argument they're making with this proposal is that the slowdown is not so much caused by out-of-state travelers that are gawking at our battleship or looking over the sides of the bayway, but that it's these big trucks causing the slowdown and going so slow, I believe, in the bottom of the tunnel, and as they try to accelerate to get back out of the tunnel, that's kind of what they're saying causes this accordion-style slowdown
right
in the traffic. Also interesting, they proposed relaning the Bayway and making it from two lanes on both sides of the Bayway to three lanes.
In addition to the new truck bridge, the existing Bayway will be restriped and converted from two lanes to three lanes in each direction. This will increase traffic flow by an estimated 40% and improve safety by separating cars and trucks into their own separate lanes.
So there you go, three lanes. I think that'd be a tight fit, but I'm not an engineer. I don't know how that would work.
How soon would you have to have signs on I-10? How far back in Mobile would you have to have signs on I-10 addressing the truck drivers to make sure you get in the right lane? Because mm-hmm. if that's the way that the bridge goes, I suppose it would be an exit to the right. Probably from the I-10 I-65
split. Yeah.
From that point on, you'd have to flashing lights or something. And because of a truck is, picture a truck, not knowing any better, 18-wheeler, in a left lane or a center lane, and then suddenly he said, oh, I gotta
get over.
Gotta get over here.
Yeah.
Or I'm against the law.
Yeah, interesting. I have no idea. I'd love to hear from someone with more knowledge about, you know, making bridges or engineering roadways like this. I know we got a lot of texts. Let's go to the phone line here.
Derek is in Fairhope. Good morning, Derek.
Dude, I drive that bridge. I mean, literally, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's not the semis that are causing the issue. It's people who have never been through a tunnel. They're the ones stuck in the left lane that are just freaking out because they've never seen anything like that. The trucks are not the ones in the left lane on the interstate itself. Trust me, my dad was a truck driver. They want to go as fast as they possibly legally can. That's not going to do anything. And then taking the bridge, making it three lanes without an emergency lane, if you're going 70, 80 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden you have something happen in front of you, where are you going?
Mm. Into the back.
Something like that happened on the bridge before. You had something like that happen in Texas not long ago.
Yeah.
You've got to have an emergency lane. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
So what do you think would be, I mean, do you want a new bridge? Do you want a fix for this? Or do you think they ought to keep it the way it is? What are you thinking, Derek?
Well, who was it before that had the idea of just taking out that 90-degree turn?
Yeah.
Sean had him on. And because that's the issue, is that 90-degree turn. That's what causes all the issues. If we could take out that 90-degree turn, and I know they went into, you know, the Civic Center, we could do this, we could do that. That, I believe, would leave all the issues. All it is, the whole problem with the Bayway, is just that turn. That's it. Everybody wants to get on it, you know, you're fine, except for the people from Louisiana or Texas that are just in awe of water. So, yeah.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, later.
Yeah, and like you said, and we talked about this a lot, to do away with that hard right turn into the tunnel, I mean, we've got the map right here of downtown Mobile. You would have to completely either demolish the Civic Center or put I-10 over on top of the Civic Center to do away with that turn. And
but Dalton, where would the Mystics play?
They'd have to find a new home, Dan.
Where would we have Mardi Gras, Dalton? Don't be insensitive to our social needs, please.
So lots of comments on this, and we'll take your calls, 343-0106. We'll hit the text line when we get back. But what do you think? Like right now, I think I'm sensing too much negativity from everyone. No one's happy with this plan. I might have to find a reason to back this plan because everyone is so against it. Does anyone out there see anything good about the plan that was proposed yesterday? Who knows? Maybe it would be more fun to drive on the Bayway if it was three lanes.
Dr. Bill proposed this morning that the truck bridge could be wooden. We could save on the truck bridge being wooden.
Great idea.
343-0106. Listen, if you're in an accident, say on the Bayway, I got the dudes for you.
Mm-hmm.
Knox Boatler, Matt Richardson, and Mark Wolf. And they, of course, are Boatler, Richardson, and Wolf. They're located at Dauphin and I-65. Local law firm. And if you've been in an accident, well, guess what? They'd like to talk to you. And maybe it's been something else, too. Maybe it's an injury that incurred, or maybe even on the job, or something malfunctioned. Now you're losing wages. You're out of work for a while, and you're in a pinch, and you're thinking, this really wasn't my fault. Well, sit down and sort it out with Boatler, Richardson, and Wolf. And you know what? That first consultation is not going to cost you a dime. I love that about these guys. They want to sit down with you and find out if you've got something they can help you with. If they can, they will. They'll get to work for you because full client satisfaction is what they are all about. They've got a great website, too. It's very helpful. It'll give you a good idea of what they can do for you. BRWLawyers.com. That's BRWLawyers.com. And if you want to call or text anytime, you can do that. You can even text them and say, hey, here's my concern or here's my situation. What can you do for me? Start that conversation right there at BRWLawyers.com or call or text anytime at 251-433-7766. That's 433-7766 to Boatler, Richardson, Wolf. Before, a little bit of cane. It's better than no cane at all. There you go. It's 8:52. Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwig on FM Talk 106.5.
Coming to the phones in just a minute. This segment brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, doing great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. They've got upfront pricing. Whatever they quote you is what you'll end up paying, and very convenient pickups. If you got a bunch of junk that's in your yard or in your house and you don't know what to do with it, or maybe it's too much work for you alone, just go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll come by and pick it up for you. They also dispose of your junk responsibly. If it's something that could be donated, they'll take care of that and donate it for you. Maybe it's e-waste, some of those computers that aren't supposed to go into the dump. They'll take care of that too. So set up your appointment today online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwig, 853. Let's go to the phones. Talking about the I-10 truck bridge, et cetera, et cetera. Gene is in Fairhope. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, guys. I guess, first of all, I at least applaud the team for getting together and trying to move this forward, because the answer is not doing nothing, and
right. That's
exactly what's going on right now.
That's a good point.
Here's my take, because I disagree with the other caller from Fairhope. I travel the Bayway a lot. Fortunately for me, I've been almost a year since I had to start doing it, but I'm doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that the truck traffic is part of the problem, because these guys will go through the tunnel, and they will get in the left-hand lane and try to pull out of the tunnel side by side, running 38 miles an hour. So you've got to block up in the tunnel, in addition to the fact that if you're going eastbound, you're taking four lanes, which used to be five lanes when you had Water Street incidents right there. Now all you've done now is move that a mile down the interstate, but you're going four to five lanes to two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's your bottleneck. Even if you're going westbound and you three lane each side of the interstate, or the Bayway, you're going to bottleneck at the
right.
tunnel because you're taking it to two lanes.
Yes, right.
Okay, that there's nothing to stop that. Now, here's my thought. I like what they're proposing, but let's extend it. Let's not say that is a truck-only bridge. Let's say that's a toll-optional bridge, and if you want to pay the toll and you got a car, you can go up there.
Mm.
But the bridge also has to be an alternative to get across the river. So it needs to be open access to everyone, and let the toll be on the truck part of the bridge
mm-hmm.
that's across the Bayway.
Yeah.
Make the trucks, not only trucks, RVs are the worst. But I will tell you what happened to me yesterday coming home.
Okay.
A Dodge Ram with an Arkansas tag. Sorry if that's you, guy. He is in the left-hand lane, and he hits the brakes right about the battleship.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the windows go down, and the kids stick their head out the window, and this idiot is in the left-hand lane.
Mm.
And what I understand, the guy that's coming across, that comes across once every 5 years, and it's exciting to see the battleship. But what he doesn't understand is 90% of us that are on the Bayway are making that crossing every day.
Right.
And we're not thinking about this guy slamming on brakes and doing that.
Yeah.
If you've ever traveled from Phoenix to Tucson on I-10, there's an ostrich farm. Okay, do you know what they had to do? They had to put a pull-off lane for the ostrich farm because so many people were stopping and looking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's part of the key. We put a pull-off lane so people can stop and look at the battleship.
Interesting. And good
point,
call
too.
There. You know, that just it makes too much sense. And
yeah.
It's the problem we had with the first proposal and this proposal. Build a bridge. Make sure there's still options that people can cross without paying a toll. But build a bridge that's easier to get across, put the toll there, and if you feel like paying it, you pay it. If you don't, you don't. But they're worried that they won't make that money back doing it that way.
Bobby's in Mobile. We have time for his call. Hey, Bobby.
Yes, sir. I actually drive a truck, and in the past, I've owned a truck. Now, let me explain. When you put a toll on something, look at New York, look at New Jersey. It costs a fortune to have some haul there. As soon as you say put a toll on something, well, that's fine. But that price is going to be passed on to the consumer.
Right.
Because the guy hauling gas, your gas is going to go up because that company is not going to eat that price. When fuel jumped up, there's a thing called fuel surcharge, looking trucks. And they back charge the customer who they're hauling through that fuel surcharge price. And, you know, it goes down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
But then if they go on, and now every one of them big trucks running down the road and coming out of the state has IPSA. They pay for every mile that they come on the state. Right now in Alabama, they get 60-something cents a gallon.
Now, Bobby, as a truck driver, do you feel that trucks slow it down at all going through the tunnel and on the bayway?
Some of them do. Some of them do because they're heavy. But you know what? They pay to be on that road just like I do, just like you do in our personal vehicles. And if you go look at a truck tag or a pointed truck tag in the state of Alabama, then you can go talk to one of them. Because they pay for everything they do, and they have a right to be on that road just like you do. But when you say, oh, we're going to tow them and not a car, well, that's fine. Well, when a wreck happens in a tunnel, then get your grill out because now you can't get on that bridge.
Thank you, Bobby.
If you say it's just for trucks, it's just going to be for trucks.
Got it.
Yeah, good call from Bobby there.
A couple of good calls back to back. And Bobby, again, being a truck driver, you know, he can speak to that for sure.
Yeah, and good text from Chris and Daphne. He says, with the Green New Deal, we would all be driving smart cars soon. So tiny, we could actually have three lanes and an emergency lane on the bayway. So looking into the future, maybe that's the plan. The smart cars are so small that it's no problem getting across the bayway.
There, you know, I know this is serious, and the first caller was saying, hey, thank gosh, they're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of making the bayway three lanes from two lanes, magical presto, with a can of paint.
Voila.
Voila. Just seems, you know, a little, almost comical.
Yeah,
right?
And a little sketchy.
Yeah, a little sketchy. And then you're talking about motor vehicle safety, and then it's even worse than that. It's 8:59. Jeff Poore on the way. Dan and Dalton will do it again tomorrow.